everybody.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, we just had to, like, start a new stream because it's storming outside and I lost my connection before we started, so, you know.
Yeah, and this new computer, it restarts a lot faster, too, so we restarted some shit and then just did a new stream. It tried to reconnect, but it was having problems. But we had the thunder strike just a few seconds before all this shit happened, so it probably had something to do with it.
I would imagine, yeah, because the weather's been kind of bad all day today. So, you know, not that I mind that. I kind of like working in here and hearing all the thunder and shit outside.
Yeah, we're drinking Black Velvet.
Yeah, we don't usually do this on the show in the middle of the afternoon, but
yeah,
decided to have a beer.
Had that on sale. What was it? Wicked Grove. That was like some shit they had at Aldi's.
It's like Angry Orchard. Yeah.
Wicked Grove is Angry Orchard, and then got some of that fucking Guinness Stout. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and look, I love the bottle cap, because I get excited about, like, little stuff like this, but I love the bottle cap for Wicked Grove. Look, it's a little mad apple.
Put a couple of my beer mugs.
So funny.
Got them wet. Put them in the freezer.
Yeah, we have frosty mugs and everything. Frosty mugs, planning everything. Ahead. I didn't even know you had that in there.
I had them ready. We were ready to go.
Everybody's saying happy.
Put them in here a couple days ago.
Everybody's saying happy birthday to you. Oh, they should probably wait until...
Yeah, it's not my birthday.
Wait until the Wednesday night show, because your birthday is on Thursday.
Yeah.
So that's like the closest to your birthday.
That's close enough. Yeah, I don't care.
He doesn't care.
No, I really don't care when my birthday is.
He doesn't want to think about it. Speaking of which, Tammy sent this hilarious...
Tammy's here.
She sent this hilarious fucking card yesterday.
Yeah, it's a chick with big boobs on it.
Yeah, a birthday aging quiz with, like,
yeah.
Look at her go. She looks kind of like...
Yeah, I passed that. I failed that fucking quiz.
Well, that's kind of the point.
I failed it, and it goes...
Yeah, because it's, like, a birthday aging quiz, and then it's, like, what color is her purse?
Right, yeah, I didn't even see the damn purse.
But to be honest, I didn't even notice she had a purse either, so, you know.
And she sent me that and a whole bunch of money.
If you said she had a purse, you're still young, or you're taking your hormones, says Tammy. So thank you very much for that. Also, yeah, she sent a bunch of money, and look, she put it in this piece of paper... Yep. That says, look, it says flash bulbs.
Yeah. And
that was the best part, I thought.
She also wanted a shirt. I got your order. We'll send it out to you.
Yeah, we're actually, I should be getting the last of the shirts, the blank shirts that I ordered today. So we'll probably print them tomorrow.
Probably print them up tomorrow and send them out.
Yeah. Tammy said, wow, it got there fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mail's pretty quick.
It was funny. I was laughing.
It was really, really funny.
Yeah.
Like, that flash bulbs thing just, like, made me laugh.
I was laughing at the boobs. As soon as I took that shit out, I started fucking laughing.
That's funny, too.
Said she's trying to pull on my fucking heartstrings.
But, like,
she's trying to pull
on your boob strings?
On my boob strings. Dick strings. Probably, really.
Although, like I said.
My boobs are bigger than most girls.
You have boobs.
They got girls fucking paying good money for shit like this.
Although, like I said, to be fair, I didn't notice that she had a purse either.
Yeah, right. You noticed it, yeah.
So, you know what I mean.
Yeah, Jenny's got boob greed also.
I don't know if it's so much boob greed. It's just they're kind of like all... It's up in your face and you
right,
can't really...
Yeah, like,
and her purse was kind of like blended into the background, you know, when I looked at it. What color was the... Yeah, Tom sees no purse.
No, I didn't see the purse. I didn't even see the background. I didn't even see what color her hair was. I just looked at her damn boobs. You know,
it's blonde.
It's just fucking an inborn instinct that some men have. You know what I mean? Some guys... It's boobs and boobs and fucking shoes. You know, I don't know.
This is why I could probably just say whatever and you wouldn't listen, because you'd be too busy, like, looking at my boobs and...
Yeah, whatever.
I sound like Charlie Brown's mom to him.
Yeah,
wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah.
Nah, she's fucking like... It's not that bad. I can resist it.
Not quite.
I can resist it.
It's not quite that bad.
I can resist it.
All right. So let's just talk about this movie for a few moments. Hopefully the storm doesn't knock any of our shit out.
There's a bunch of thunder here, but there you go.
So this is one, like I said, I read about this one a few months back, and I was just like, oh, Tom would probably dig that, just from the brief description that I saw, and the fact that it was set in Brazil, and it was in Portuguese, you tend to more like over-the-top kind of action-packed kind of stuff, so I was like, well, that sounds kind of like something that would be along, you know, the lines of something you would like.
For people who are new to the show, I grew up in São Paulo, Brazil, after I left California back in... I think it was 81. So I did all my high school time half of my high school time in Brazil. And I think my parents were there for 12 years. I was only there, I think, for a total of like 4 or 5, you know, something like that.
But he still speaks fluent Portuguese. Yeah,
all my friends, you know, we still talk, you know, guys I grew up with in São Paulo.
And he didn't need the, when we watched the movie last night, he didn't really need the subtitles.
It took me a few minutes to fucking make that adjustment. I haven't heard it in a while. Now, this is the second Brazilian horror movie that we've seen recently. This one was good, and so was that other one.
That was, what was that called? Ghost Killers versus Bloody Mary?
Yeah, yeah.
That one was more like goofy than this one. This one was kind of more, this had, this was gorier, I think.
Yeah.
But it had a little bit more of a serious kind of thing, even though it had some goofy shit in it, but it wasn't as over-the-top goofy as the other one.
Yeah, it was, you know, there's some parody a little bit in both of them, you know. They're just parodying different things. Fucking Ghost, what was it? Ghost Killers fucking Bloody Mary, that one just parodied everything. It was almost kind of like Scream, but it was also, it also had some good shit in it too. Like they really knew American horror genre, but they were parodying the American horror genre of the 80s. This one also, it's parodying Brazilian horror genre of the late 70s and the early 80s. The motif of this movie is very, okay, Brazil had an Italian influence in its culture. So Italian filmmaking and things like Giallo also kind of influenced Brazil's.
Yeah, this totally had a bit of a Giallo vibe going on, for sure.
Their cinema more copied what was happening in Italy, okay? Which makes sense if you understand Brazil. I mean, you know, Brazil has a very heavy Italian influence into it, you know? It's a romance culture. Italy was a big part of it, you know. But, I mean, just the way it's shot, they're kind of like artificially aging the film. It does flashbacks and does weird things like you're watching it on an old, worn-out fucking Brazilian fucking projector. You know what I mean? It's just, if you had grown up in Brazil in the 80s, you instantly recognize the tone of what they're doing. And it's difficult for me to describe it to an American.
It's a weird movie, but it was also kind of like, there were parts of it that were sort of slow, but it was also like kind of, parts of it were like inspired. And like there were a few parts of it where like some of it happened. I'm like, okay, this movie is officially awesome right now.
Yeah. It starts in the 1940s in a flashback of some shit that happened in Brazil between Nazis and cults and, I guess, some kind of a cult that protects the world against the forces of evil that's in it, too. And it's funny because it has elements of, like, kung fu movies and Italian cannibal movies, you know, like the Cannibal Holocaust. The way the look and what they're trying to do is kind of like that, which if you were like me and my Brazilian friends growing up in Brazil, they were just getting into the VHS thing too in the early 80s and video rental. They didn't have chains. They had like ma and pa video rental stores. And you could get these old fucking Italian horror movies like Zombie and shit like that and all the American ones. And we all watched the same movies, except in Brazil they kind of added some European ones in it too. Because they didn't care where the movie came from. I mean, they were all subtitled anyway. You had to read subtitles. Yeah. So it didn't matter if it come from America or not. And it's in this movie. You can see the influences of it. I really liked what they were doing. The score is very good.
Oh, yeah. I really dug it. Yeah.
A lot of it takes place in São Paulo, and it started taking me back to São Paulo. And they're showing it like in the shitty areas of São Paulo.
Well, there were some in the nice areas.
Some of it was in the nice areas. So a lot of it was in the shitty areas. But that fit the story, you know. There's a lot of influence from, like, American stuff too, kind of like The Exorcist and a lot of Friday the 13th. There's a Jason.
Yeah, I was gonna say
thing.
There's like an 80s slasher movie vibe to it too. But there's also like a noir giallo type of, because there's a detective.
Yeah.
And then there's also like supernatural kind of shit too, because it's almost like a possession type thing going on. Also,
there's Brazilian gothic lesbians in it. there's all kinds of stuff.
Just one.
They're just one. Yeah, and her older wife.
And it's super, super gory.
Yeah.
I mean, this premiered, I think, at least in the U.S., at the Chattanooga Film Festival last year,
yeah.
Which they did virtually because, like I said, because of the shutdown. So, and it got a reputation, this movie got a reputation for being just like, you know, insanely gory.
Yeah, and it's practical gore.
Yeah.
And it looks like old Italian gore. Pretty good. I liked it. It's kind of a throwback. But then it breaks into these cosmic scenes.
Oh, those were super cool.
Of what's happening in the spirit world, because you're dealing with a pre-Columbian Mesoamerican demonic being, and you see what's happening over there, and it looked really cool, and it looked kind of like the motif was like kind of like Blood Machines, but yeah. If the Blood Machines was taking place in the 70s or something. It looked pretty cool.
That was super cool when they went to that.
I was
so
impressed.
You could say that it's kind of like, I saw a couple reviews of it, like on some different horror sites, and like most of them like really liked it, but they said, you know, some of it's kind of all over the place, or it seems like two or three different movies that kind of like all mashed together.
Yeah, but that's in the motif.
That's fair. But that said, I still like enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
The story is kind of ponderous by American standards.
Yeah.
It kind of goes all over the place. But that's very much in the old traditions of old Brazilian cinema. They were like that too. They had plenty of time. They, you know, the audience weren't going anywhere. It was kind of like Italian cinema. They'd go all over the fucking place. Right. And they're homaging that in this movie. That was done on purpose. Because the other Brazilian film that we saw homaged American 80s horror, and they got that edit down perfectly. That's exactly the way 80s American retro horror was.
And it almost...
So they could do it. It
kind of parodied like ghost hunting shows as well.
Yeah, it did.
That one.
Yeah, I recommend both of them. Those two Brazilian horror movies are kind of delivering. They delivered. Bloody Mary was kind of like the Frighteners of the Brazilian movies. This one would be kind of like... Shit. This would be like a giallo movie.
This
of
one's
the Brazilian.
Except I don't
Friday
know.
13th,
it's really hard to explain.
Imagine if Friday the 13th was a giallo movie made in Italy, but it's Brazil, and there's cosmic horror mixed in with it, and it's kind of like Lovecraft.
And also there are Nazis.
And there are Nazis in it, and there's a Rambo type guy in it. They are fucking with you. You're not supposed to be taking this 100% seriously. You're supposed to just enjoy it, you know, in the way that, you know, like you would enjoy a fucking crazy Italian movie. It's like that.
Yeah, it definitely did give me that kind of like Italian exploitation movie vibe.
Yeah.
It definitely has that. And like I said, the gore looks fantastic. People's heads explode.
Yeah.
People get their hearts ripped out. There's rib cages busting all over the place.
Yeah, the demon is a mask that looks like a skull. That fucking legs come out of it like a spider. It attacks you.
Like tentacles.
Kind of like something about an alien. And then it gets on your head and you can't get it off. And then you turn into Jason. And he's got a fucking like a Mesoamerican, kind of like an Aztec fucking weapon. But it's made out of iron instead of obsidian. And all kinds of weird shit happens. And he's got to fight all these people, and every time he kills somebody, it fills up a damn kind of fucking mechanism to unlock it. It's complicated. And then...
Yeah, the story is kind of complicated.
Yeah, one of the main characters is she's a cop, and she's basically kind of like the Brazilian Scarlett Johansson. She looks a lot like Scarlett Johansson.
She looks like eerily like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, if Scarlett Johansson was Brazilian, if she was like Latina Brazilian, like Portuguese descent, that's what she looks like. And it was a cool flick. I liked it.
I liked it a lot, too.
And it set up sequels.
Did we even mention it's called Skull?
Skull.
The Mask.
The Mask.
Basically, like I said, what you have...
The Mask was like a skull.
Well, it was a skull mask.
It was a skull.
And it was it's called something different in Portuguese, actually. I think it's still called Skull, but then it has like a different subtitle. It's called The Mask of Anhanga, or whatever they called it.
Ayanga.
There you go. That was the name of the... Because this is going pre-Columbian shit here. Because, like, the very beginning, it's almost kind of like you're watching an old film strip of Nazis, and they found this artifact, right, which is the skull.
Yeah.
And they kind of were doing some sort of ritual with it or something.
Yeah, and then we're not talking about Nazis in the German Europe phase. We're talking about the Nazis that escaped Germany and ended up in Brazil and in Argentina. It's that the suit wearing Nazis living out in the country. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. South American Nazis.
So then there's a thing. There's kung fu. Someone's head explodes. Someone's hand gets cut off.
Yeah.
And then we're jumping ahead to the present day, 2021. And somebody, like, I guess somebody at a construction company has found the skull. Like, so they take it, like, for, so somebody comes to, like, collect it because it's an archaeological, you know, find and everything. And then there's a dude that works for, who was that dude? Does he work for, like, a company, like a museum or something? The creepy looking dude that looked kind of like Jeffrey Combs from The Prisoners.
He was kind of like the head of some kind of cult that was trying to get all these evil artifacts.
Yeah, because there was that whole thing, because the whole thing with that is going on. And then the woman that went and got the skull, she brings it home to her house, and her girlfriend, who's kind of like a gothy Wiccan kind of chick, is just kind of like, ooh, I want to see what this is. And she's like, no, it's, you know, I have to take it to the museum tomorrow. Don't fuck with it. But of course she does fuck with it. And she's like, ooh, I'm going to like fucking summon some shit. And she summons some shit, and like everyone's heart gets ripped out. And meanwhile, there's this detective who's looking for these missing girls, which actually does kind of play into the story later on. It does kind of all tie together. And then also, there's a dude named Manco, who is sort of like, there's him, and then there's like this priest that he's always talking to. Manco has this little hand that I guess was the hand from the dude at the beginning, and it kind of points to where the skull is at.
Yeah, there was...
It's like a monkey's paw situation, something.
Right. That guy was trying to get the mask away from him, wasn't he? And he got caught. He was like one of the old...
Yeah, he was from some kind of like secret society.
Secret society, right.
And they were supposed to watch over the shit because if somebody got the skull and knew how to use it, like it'd be really, really bad. Because it was like this cosmic, like I said, when the girl first summons the demon or whatever. I guess what it was, when I looked at the Wikipedia page, so I guess the mask belongs to, what'd you say what the guy's name was? The mask of whatever now?
Iyanga.
Iyanga?
Yeah.
So he's... So that guy is the executioner of a pre-Columbian god named Tahantinsuyo, something like that. I'm not even going to pronounce it. I think they just called him Taha in the movie, but that's what it is. So this guy is just going around randomly killing motherfuckers and tearing their hearts out and like squeezing the blood and everything.
Yeah, and he's like Jason.
Basically. Yeah, and he gets, well, the longer you wear the mask, like, the more it becomes integrated and you start coming quick. And like I said, the skull...
tentacles start coming out.
Yeah, the skull has, like, tentacles, like, these little things, like, coming out of his head, and they, like, tentacles, and he can,
all
like, walk.
It's all practical effects. It looks like something out of the 80s. Which is well done. I think, because they showed in the cosmic horror-type scenes in the other dimension that Brazil has, at least now, or... either has access to studios that can execute, or they buy stuff from studios. They can do real good CG when they want to. They're just trying to show you practical effects like you grew up with as a kid. This is a throwback movie. Definitely. You know what I mean?
And the gore in this is great. I had a great time with the...
Yeah, it looked Italian. It looked like Italian...
Yeah, 70s, so if you like seeing everyone's broken rib cages sticking out and people like just punching like through people's chests and pulling their hearts out, people's heads exploding, shit like that, it's super, super fun.
Yeah.
And then there's, like I said, there's a lot of kind of the detective shit going on too, and all of this sort of scheming, everyone trying to get this mask, and meanwhile, the person that had put the mask on running around being like Jason and like chopping everybody up. So there's that whole thing going on. Like I said, it seems like two or three different movies going on at once, but that's okay. I didn't mind it.
they're homaging Brazilian cinema of the past. And just like we do, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the acting was very good. Tonally, it's all over the place, but it's kind of supposed to be. Some of the characters are obviously, you know, in there for laughs and gags. They're comedic relief. They have that. Some of them are serious, kind of dramatic roles. The main bad guy is kind of almost like a Jeffrey Combs doing fucking Lieutenant Danvers, you know, Detective Danvers from fucking, you know...
The Frighteners.
The Frighteners, yeah. He's kind of like that a little bit. Not quite as over top as Combs, but similar. It's just a good flick. It's just a good flick. I would call it cinema. Not commercial at all.
No.
Because Brazilian, classic Brazilian cinema was not commercial. It was art house, basically. Brazilians were going to watch that shit no matter what. because it was made in Brazil.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was like Italy. You know what I mean? Everybody went to the movies. Didn't cost much anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, cable eventually got rid of it, but it took a long time for Brazil to get that, you know? And so, no, they're just homaging what the state of Brazilian cinema was in the 70s and the 80s. It was good.
I kind of like, it looked like, I don't know if it was actually shot on film, but it looks like it was shot on film.
It looked like it.
Because it looks like a movie that was made back then. I don't know if they just artificially made it look like that. It's hard to tell.
I think they did. And some of the stuff's happening in 2020 or 2021.
Well, pretty much all of it has happened in 2021.
Yeah, and it still looks like it was back in the 70s.
Yeah. So, like I said, even cinematically, it looks like like an old exploitation movie, which I dug that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like verisimilitude right there. They're trying to make it look like a movie from back then.
It fit the setting. It fit the story, the tone of the story and the actors. What I really liked was the score. They did some real cool like jazz type, Brazilian jazz type stuff, which is like very popular in Brazil. You used to listen to it, you know, are you getting drunk, looking out your window, looking at the cityscape. It showed the beautiful cityscape. Sao Paulo is fucking huge. It's got good places and bad places, but you can have fun no matter where you are there. At least it was in the time that I was there.
Well, you said
it's a party town.
Well, you said too that they showed, because they showed like a few like long shots of the city, and you said that you remembered.
Yeah.
The city's so big that it lights up the whole sky.
It lights up all the clouds. So you get this reflection of the city lights coming from the cross. You don't need to drive. You drive around without headlights. You just
it's
ride
like daytime out
just
there.
Markers.
Yeah.
You know, like your parking markers. If you put your headlights on, people will blast you with their brights, tell you to turn them off. Because your night vision has no problem.
Because it's bright enough.
It's bright enough, yeah.
Tammy said, what is it on? It's on Shudder. It might be somewhere else as well. It's weird because, like I said, I heard about it a few months ago. You know, because I thought, oh, it's Brazilian, so Tom would probably want to see that.
Yeah.
But then when I looked for it back then, I couldn't find it. But then about a month ago, Shudder added it. So at this point, if Shudder has it, sometimes Amazon Prime has it as well. So we'll see. And sometimes Tubi has it as well, but I don't know if it's on Tubi.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that it's on Shudder, though.
Yeah.
At least in the U.S. Fourth Row Down says, I think The Thing from 2011 was made to look like it was made in the 80s. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch that again, because I don't remember seeing it.
No, not
like
really.
That. I mean, that wasn't something that...
No, it didn't. It just...
struck me at the time.
It took place in the 80s before The Thing had happened, but it was shot as a modern movie. It was originally going to have practical effects in it, but the company that released it, and evidently the practical effects looked really good, but then the company that owned it CG'd over most of the practical effects.
Doesn't that suck?
To make
God
it look more
it.
Like a modern movie, which is which that's
and,
fucking...
you know, I'm not... Thank you, No Need for Me Too. Love the stories from other cultures that I never experienced. Tom spins a good yarn. Yes, he does.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not shitting on people that do digital effects, because that's an art form of its own, okay? I'm not saying that. But taking people that made stuff with their, like, monsters and shit like that with their hands and, like, did them all practical and figured out how to do it like they did back in the day, and then for them to go through all that work, and then you're like, no, we're just going to, like, slap some fucking cartoon over it? Fuck that.
And I own the Blu-ray. And it's a shame they didn't have both versions so you could see the CG theatrical release.
Yeah, see, I would have liked to have seen the practical
release. I wanted to see what it looked like, the practical. Because evidently the practical effects were going to be like... The whole movie was an homage to the Thing. And the practical effects were supposed to be even better than the Thing. So they could like honor it. There were going to be a practical effect that they could do that. And what it would look like today. But evidently, whoever was running that fucking show said, nah, I don't really like it. Let's make it look like a modern movie. We'll CGI over this. I would have liked to have had a choice.
One of my favorite things about horror in the last few years is that people have really started to appreciate practical effects again.
Yeah.
Most indie movies that I've seen lately at least mostly do practical effects.
CG's good for certain things.
Yeah, and I'm not shitting on it. So, you know, and like I said, I know there's people that's good at that. It's a different kind of art form, so I would never say, oh, it sucks just across the board, because it doesn't.
A mixture of the two would be nice, but it's very very difficult to beat really good practical effects. A good movie, as an example, was a merger of practical and CGI, was Fury Road. Yeah. That was mostly
Almost all practical.
But they used CG to do things like hide tire tracks and to
just
hide
erase
suspension harnesses and safety stuff that was around those vehicles.
Which, like I said, I don't have a problem with that at all, because you're still doing the shit.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously we don't want actors getting killed and shit like that. So, yes, they should have safety equipment.
But when those cars wrecked, that really was the wreck. Even when the moving fucking signal vehicle that had all the fucking band playing on it, the guitar guy, a lot of people thought that was CG, that truck falling apart and all the speakers flying off it. No, that was real. The only thing that wasn't CG was the only thing that wasn't practical was when the steering wheel came at the camera.
Came at the camera, yeah.
But no,
everything else was practical.
It's just that it shot in a weird frame rate, and it was in HD, so it kind of looked fake.
Well, even when they flipped that truck over at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was real, too. Because actually, we watched all the, because we have it, and we've seen it like fucking a million times.
All the extras.
And we've watched all the extras, and they showed them like setting all the stunt up, and they showed them doing this, like, look, we can pretty much only do this one time, so don't fuck it up.
even the guitarist that shot the flame out of his guitar, even that was a real flamethrower. Some people were saying, oh, that flames look fake. That's CG. No, that's real.
No, it was real.
It's real. You could do it. Just that it had a certain color filter on it to make the flames look really red, but it was real.
Yep. Yeah, they went the distance with that one.
Yeah.
Mad respect.
And there's supposed to be a sequel to it.
They said they were going to do another.
Hey,
I want to see another
time?
Furiosa movie.
Yeah.
I think they should just make a movie called Furiosa, and it should just be all about her, because she's fucking rad. But I don't know if Charlize Theron wants to do it again. But she was fucking great in that. I love that fucking movie so much. But yeah, so what was I going to say? Another movie I did a review of it on my little Flickers of Fear show. But if you like Italian giallo movies, you should go watch Barbarian Sound Studio. Because that's another one that was set during the heyday of giallo movies, and it's like a psychological horror film, but it's kind of like about a dude that is he's doing like the sound effects for a giallo movie, and he's kind of like this really prissy like English guy, and he doesn't understand like this weird, so it's like this weird like culture clash thing, and it's really, really good. But it's kind of made, like, the whole look of it is like really cool too. I really like that, like, some filmmakers lately have been making like some kind of modern giallos, or making things that are kind of inspired by that.
Yeah, well, cinema's going to have to go back to its roots and become kind of spontaneous and artistic. Even Quentin Tarantino came out a couple days ago and started to fucking warn Hollywood that the movies are sucking, that the stories are sucking, and that it's got to go back to its roots. Hollywood has to go punk rock, basically. It's too corporate.
Well, like I said, that's kind of why I even like, you know, when they show, because somebody was saying that, like, there's some good movies on Shudder and stuff. You know, there's a movie on there called Host that was filmed entirely during the pandemic, and it was filmed entirely on laptops. Yeah. And it's like, I actually liked that movie, but even if you didn't, you have to admire, like you said, the punk rock spirit. We're going to make a movie entirely on fucking laptops.
Right.
While everyone's at lockdown. This is good. You know, it was like early on. And the fact that they just did it, I mean, that should command respect. Even if it doesn't come out like as great as they wanted. It's like, I just respect them for like actually wanting to do something like that and seeing what they can do with it. I think they did the same thing with a few years back. There was a movie called Unfriended. And they made the whole thing on a Mac laptop, like, in real time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was kind of like a Blair Witch situation where they just had the actors, but they're just kind of like, well, here's, like, the random plot, but we're not going to tell you, like, what's going to happen, and we're not going to tell you what to do, so it's all, like, improvised. And it's actually not a bad film for all of that. It actually turned out pretty good. So I kind of like that people are going back to that they're going back to practical effects.
Yeah.
You know, making their own monsters, doing blood and shit like that. And I really like seeing, too, and that's one thing another thing that I really like about Shudder is that they really seem to try to get movies from other countries.
Yeah.
And this, they have a shit ton of, like, you know, foreign movies, if you want to call them that. And so I really like seeing, like, what other countries are doing, especially when you see movies from countries that you don't see a lot of horror movies from.
Yeah, we saw that Thai movie. Was that
The Pool?
The Pool with the alligator.
That was outstanding.
You're right. You know, there's a lot of good movies that come from other countries.
I really, really liked that movie.
Yeah, they don't have the same studio system where they're worried about, well, we have to have this huge budget because my brother-in-law needs fucking money. We need to hire all these people and blah, blah, blah. And to do this, we got to flip this movie three times what we spent. It's got to be huge. No, man, the story's going to fucking suffer. Some of these little countries will go, well, let's just make a cool story. And make a story about a dude that can't get out of the goddamn pool. And there's an alligator in it. And for, what is that, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
That alligator fucked with us. And you couldn't get out of the goddamn, the dude could not get out of the goddamn pool.
Yeah. And it was just such a simple premise. Yeah. But it was so well done.
Yep, cheap, really well thought out. The whole time I'm getting frustrated. I'm fucking sitting
there going, we were like flipping, like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah, and then the alligator, and then one thing after another, and after another.
I was like, this poor guy.
That's right. And it was a super entertaining and creative movie made out of nothing. And that's, Hollywood could do that for like $10. And people would go to see it. Even if the audience was small, you'd make a lot of money back. But it's not enough for these big studios. They got fucking mansions to buy and more pools, and you got to pay off all those damn call girl fucking bills and shit. You know what I mean? Fucking, because damn, whole harems of hookers and shit. They're fat, bloated, and spoiled. They're not very creative anymore. You know, it's just.
Well, like I said, in trying to appeal to everybody, you end
can't
up kind
appeal
of
to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, some movies do. Yes, the Marvel movies make a bajillion dollars. And I can see, like, a lot of them are for, you know, foreign markets, too.
Yeah.
So they have to make them, like, these big, like, spectacle action movies because that's going to play better overseas.
But when you think about it, they fucking suck.
I mean, a lot of them, they even if they don't suck, they're just not all that memorable. That's
yeah.
all.
You watch that shit, it had, you had no real emotional interplay with it. Nothing offended you. It was kind of cool to watch. And as soon as we walk out of those theaters, we're like, what? What happened? I don't even remember what happened in that
movie. If you asked me which of the Marvel movies I had seen,
yeah, I can't tell you which one I saw.
You.
Yeah,
I know I've seen some of them.
Because they're just so fucking...
I kind of remember Ant-Man.
Yeah. They're just so fucking
Ant-Man.
Bland. The only superhero movie recently that I saw that I remembered and enjoyed, saw it twice, was Shazam.
And I'm pretty sure they're making a sequel to that.
Shazam had character. I liked Shazam. I remembered that one.
Because it wasn't just, it was a character-driven movie, more than like a spectacle.
Yeah, and it that was not, and then the other one was Spider-Verse was pretty good.
Into the Spider-Verse, yeah. That was great. I liked
that. That's pretty good. I liked that.
I liked that.
What was another one that was
Because that was
good?
Kind of like a cool concept, you know, and it was animated.
Animated,
so,
right.
You know, and it had a lot of different styles, so I kind of liked that. It was a lot more like artistic.
I liked it. And then, what was it? Brightburn. That was kind of like a parallel universe fucking evil Superman. I liked that one.
Tammy said, Tom is not to use the money I sent him to pay off his call girl bills.
Yeah, I can't. No, shit. No, I'm not going to pay off call girl bills.
You got to keep that on your credit card, I guess.
Credit card, yeah. Another good one was Red Sun. Red Sun was really good. But I'm telling you, man, these Marvel live action ones, Joker was a fucking masterpiece. But
like I said, that was more a character study.
Yeah, but the most of that Marvel shit, man, was fucking bland. Just bland.
Well, like I said, I'm not, you know, and I'm not shitting on, like, people that like those kind of movies or, you know, I know some people are into those and a lot of people are, like, really into, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and they know all about the characters and they read the comics and stuff. So it's like a lot of them do actually have, like, an emotional connection to a lot of the characters, which that's legit. It's just I haven't watched enough of them. And I feel like there's too much focus on...
It's my understanding it's all bland, Jenny.
Well, no, I'm just saying... I think it is, too. But it's, I'm just saying I know that other
they're
people
getting
don't like
that thing. They saw three or four other movies that were just as bland as the other ones, and somehow they made a connection with that. It's another generation. Their standards are, I think, lower, if you ask me, about what a good movie was. I don't think they had... I think the general viewing audience didn't have a good background on fucking badass flicks like Apocalypse Now, you know? That kind of shit. Another superhero movie that was good was fucking Venom. Venom was fucking really cool.
Yeah, I actually liked Venom.
The only thing that was wrong with Venom is that Venom wasn't fucking hard enough. If that thing was all that bad, it should have rolled them dudes' heads down the hill like a turd, like you said. You know, some of the shit that Venom said,
I
want to see that.
Now that you brought it up, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, bite those dudes' heads off. I wanted that thing to kill all kinds of people. Because then it would have been something like Alien. That's what that movie really should have. I would have turned that up to an R. And I think that Venom would have been even better as an R-rated
movie. Well, like I said, I think that's another thing where they're trying to appeal to everybody. Because they're like, well, we have to make it PG-13 so we can get all the teenagers to come in and see it. Because that's like a big chunk of their audience. And when you do that, you kind of drain all the awesome.
I wouldn't worry about that shit. I'd make it R and fucking, they'll bootleg it or they'll buy the Blu-ray.
Well, that's the thing. They do that.
Stay around for longer.
Well, they do
like
that with
Alien. Has made a shit ton of movie. It's been around for fucking since what is that? Fucking 79. Yeah,
that's they do that with a lot of horror movies where. You know, particularly ones that are kind of like geared more toward a teenager or younger adult market, they usually will make a PG-13 version, but then when it comes out on Blu-ray, they have the R version with all the shit they cut out of it. Yeah. So that's like encouraging people to see it in the theater and then like, well, if you thought it was lame, then hey, here's all the good shit that we took out of it.
Just like they did with Expendables 3. Theater release Expendables 3 was evidently not that good, but I have the Blu-ray and saw the Blu-ray edition of it, the R-rated edition. It was fucking awesome. Expendables 3, the R-rated version, was the best out of the three. It was even better than Expendables 1.
Well, like I said, I mean, I just feel like particularly, you know, like I said, in horror, because that's kind of like the genre that I watch the most, I do kind of feel like horror has been a lot better the last 10 years. It went through like kind of a shitty spell, like I think in the late 90s to mid 2000s. Because everything was just kind of like a remake, or that was just kind of like these cash grabs, or they were just kind of lame PG-13 ghost stories like fucking Darkness Falls and shit like that. And, you know, and I wasn't down with that. But I feel like in the last like 15 years, something like that, I mean, some really, really good indie horror has come out.
Yeah.
Even some big, bigger budget horror has come out. Like I said, like one of my favorite horror movies of all time, which is Hereditary, came out in fucking 2018, for Christ's sake.
I got to see it again. I was too hard on the movie. I must have been tired at the time I was watching it.
That was an incredible movie.
Because when Midsommar came out, I fucking loved it.
Midsommar
loved it.
Was also fantastic.
I loved Midsommar. And then you said, why didn't you like Hereditary? It was even better. I fell asleep during Hereditary.
Well, the thing is, like, some people like Midsommar better, some people like that. I liked Hereditary better, but Midsommar was awesome, too.
I had to see it again.
Midsommar was awesome, too. They were both awesome in different ways. And I like that Ari Aster did two pretty much completely different movies, and they were both awesome in their own way. So that's kind of, like, hard to do, I feel like.
But getting back to this one, Mask Skull or Skull Mask, what's the name of it?
It's Skull: The Mask.
Skull the Mask. There you go.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think in Brazil it's called Skull, the Mask of the Dude.
Okay, yeah. Anayaska or somewhere shit like that. I forgot what it
was. Anhanga.
It's not a
Anhanga.
Ayanga. It's not a Brazilian word. That is an Indian word.
Well, yeah, that was the whole thing, that it was just kind of like, they didn't say it was like Aztec or
No, Brazilian Indian.
Or, you know, anything like that. Yeah, it was like some pre-Columbian.
It's like some shit from the Xingu or something.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. So he wanted somebody that was going to go around and tear people's hearts out.
Yeah.
And then I kind of feel like, well, because they showed a few scenes where they showed after the guy with the mask on, who looked like Jason, went and tore people's hearts out and like squeezed the blood or whatever.
Yeah.
And they only showed this thing in close up, and it was like this gold thing, and it was like a skull at the bottom, and then it kept filling up more and more with blood, like every time he killed somebody, which was a lot of people. Mm. And then it would kind of go chunk, chunk, like he was filling the blood up to like unlock a mechanism or something, but they never showed what that was, I don't think. So I kind of feel like maybe they're setting up a sequel.
Oh, definitely, because they said there are more of those masks out there. Something was happening in another dimension, but they never finished it. There's going to be more of them, evidently. Now movies like this wouldn't cost this much to make by American standards. All right, and if you have a crew that likes making them, you could get more, as long as Shudder wants to buy more. I think this is a Shudder exclusive, wouldn't it?
Or Shudder Original.
Shudder Original.
I think what they do, I'm not really sure how this works.
It probably had a theatrical release in Brazil.
Probably. Because I'm not like in the movie biz. But what I could glean from all the stuff that I've read is that, you know, representatives from Shudder, the purchasers, and from other streaming services as well, they go around to all the festivals and then they bid on like movies that are like, hey, we want this for our streaming service. And then they have to make a deal with that. So I think when it says Shudder Original, I don't think that means you can't watch it anywhere else. I think that just means that Shudder was the one that kind of like won the
financed
thing.
It, right, or
you know,
bought
yeah,
it.
Or bought it for a certain right, amount yeah. of money, and they can show it on their streaming service for X amount of time before other streaming services can have
do
it.
Right.
I kind of think that's what the, yeah. what the deal is.
But it's a good flick. It's got a solid little heritage. It's homaging Brazilian cinema of the 70s and early 80s. And their cinema originally was kind of had an Italian influence to it. And this one also has an American influence to it with the kind of like Jason-esque type slasher stuff blended into it. It's pretty neat. You'll enjoy it.
And if you like gore, check it out, because the gore in this is super fun.
Yeah.
I particularly liked all the broken rib cages. I enjoyed that very much. I know that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's a detail that a lot of movies leave out.
Yeah.
I like seeing the bodies with these broken ribs sticking out.
Had a good score.
It was good.
Had kind of a ponderous edit, which is that's in the Brazilian style, which is kind of Italian. The acting is very good. All right. Very Brazilian style. We're kind of like, you know, it's kind of Brazilian soap opera-y, kind of like Italian, where some of the characters are obviously in there as gags. Some of them are super dramatic. Some of them are kind of, it's just, if you've seen Brazilian television and Brazilian film, you can see that a lot. You know, archetypal type characters in there in a certain way. Brazilian archetypes.
Louis,
it's good.
Louis asked, what was the name of the movie where four dudes go camping? I think it's Norwegian. There was a movie called The Ritual where four dudes went camp. Was it three dudes or four dudes? Now, I think it was a British movie, but they did go camping, I think, in Norway. Might have been that. Although there was one called Lake Bodum, which was based on that real murder thing that took place. Well, I haven't seen it, but I keep seeing it come up on like Tubi and stuff. So maybe you're talking about that. Maybe you're talking about The Ritual, though. That was actually a really good movie. But I'm pretty sure that was a British movie. I just think it was set in Norway, because I remember it being in English. But wasn't it was like it was four dudes and their friend had died, and their friend had always wanted to go hiking in this particular area. So they said, "Well, to honor him, we're going to go do that." And then some weird supernatural shit ensued. I don't want to spoil it because it's actually a really good movie. Yeah. Oh, I got it. See, I'm good. You know. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, we're doing that. Tammy says Venom 2 is coming soon.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah.
I heard.
And No Need For Me 2 said that's because Venom got removed from Marvel, which made it better. I didn't know that. I guess that wasn't Marvel, huh?
I'm not the person to ask. Yeah. I'm not real up on my comic book lore. Sorry.
That's right. That was Tom Hardy in that. Mm. I need to buy that bitch. I said I was going to buy it after I saw it.
Who was that other actor that looks almost exactly like, is it Logan Marshall Green?
I don't know.
That looks almost exactly like Tom Hardy. So he was the one in Upgrade, right?
Yeah. That's a good movie. I want to see that one again.
Yeah, Upgrade was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was what, 2016, 2017? Yeah, I love that movie. But it's weird because every time I see a movie with Logan Marshall Green, and I'm like, why aren't you Tom Hardy? They look almost exactly alike. Like, I don't know why. It's just like I confuse the two of them. There's a couple actresses that I have that happen with too, but I can't remember who they are at the moment. Where it's like every time I see one of them, it's like, oh, it's that chick. Oh, no, it's the other
one. Tammy says she's going to watch this one tonight. You'll like it.
It's okay. Like I said, it seems like three different movies mashed into one.
You can drink during it.
Yeah, you can drink during it. If you like gore, you should really love it because the gore is super fun, I think.
It's entertaining. Entertaining movie. Fun.
And the cosmic shit.
Yeah.
When they first did that, because it was like no clue that it was going in that direction.
Yeah.
Like when the goth girl kind of is like, yeah, I'm going to summon whoever, like with the skull. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, we're good. We're doing this now. And Tom's like, ooh, it's going all blood machines.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know, it was kind of cool. All right. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
We went through a whole beer. It's actually two beers.
Because
it's a bottle of Guinness and a bottle of
cider.
Wicked Grove.
Yeah.
With a little mad apple on it.
If you guys ever want to try it, man, it's called Black Velvet. I got corrected.
Black Velvet.
I used to think it was Snake Bite, but it's been so long since I had it. Snake Bite was the one I think it was, cider and some kind of like a red beer or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. It was a different kind of beer. Yeah, the Black Velvet. Good shit.
Fourth Row Down set just mentioned, I wanted to mention this, because we're talking about Logan Marshall Green. He said he was in a movie called The Invitation that's pretty good. I'm actually going to do a Flickers of Fear on that. Is it this week? Or it's probably not this week, but next week. Because I've seen that movie a couple of times, and that movie is so good, and I fucking recommend it to everybody. It's on Netflix. It's like a psychological horror, and I'm going to try to talk about it on the show, but it's like, if you've seen it, like, watch it, but if you haven't seen it, don't read anything about it. Just, like, watch it and not know where it's going, because I didn't know where it was going, and it's, like, so much better. Because I was just at the end, I was like, holy fucking shit. It was that old kind of situation. But yeah, it's, I think it came out in 2015. So I'm going to be reviewing that one in a week or two. All right. So we are going to knock off for the day. Yeah. It's Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
So tomorrow night is our Drunken Sidetracks live stream.
Hand me those bottles over.
Hand me those bottles.
Yeah, today is not drunken.
Today is not. Today is just like drinking. mildly inebriated.
Yeah,
today.
Throw those out.
Tomorrow night is going to be
drunken,
probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope not. Unless I fall asleep on the show. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, tomorrow night's the Sidetrack show. So we'll see you guys tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks, you guys, for dropping by. Thanks for super chats. Have a good rest of your day. And we will see you guys tomorrow evening. Bye.